discovered floating in the Euphrates River. The soldier had been shot several times. Thousands of coalition forces continued to search for two other soldiers abducted during an ambush earlier this month. In Iraq, 9 soldiers and Marines were killed yesterday and early today in a series of roadside bombs. Most of the incidents were related to the search for the kidnapped soldiers. 85 U.S. forces have died in Iraq this month. Overnight, thousands of Palestinians escaped from the camp under siege by the Lebanese army seeking to root out Islamic fundamentalists. Yesterday, several refugees were killed and wounded when they approached a UN convoy delivering food and water to the camp. A fragile ceasefire is still holding this morning between the Lebanese and the Islamic militants. It's hoped food, water, and medicine can be brought into the 30,000-resident camp and the dead and wounded can be removed. In Gaza, Palestinian leaders meet today to discuss strengthening the truce between rival Hamas and Fatah factions. Also on the agenda, ceasefire with Israel. In the past 10 days, more than 90 Palestinians have been killed. The San Francisco Chronicle reports the Pentagon appears to be preparing to double the number of U.S. combat forces in Iraq this year. Pentagon deployment orders indicate more combat brigades will be deployed and duty tours of troops already in Iraq will be extended. In the Persian Gulf, 9 U.S. Navy warships arrived today to stage an unannounced exercise off the Iranian coast. 17,000 U.S. soldiers and Marines are involved. It is the largest show of maritime force in the region since the Iraqi invasion in 2003. In Washington, the Senate has rejected an attempt to drop a key provision of the controversial immigration bill. Senators voted 2-1 to keep the guest worker portion of the legislation. Debate over the bill continues today. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's former White House liaison Monica Goodling will testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. You're listening to Quality News Network.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank. SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
A study of rainfall in the contiguous state shows Mobile, Alabama, with more than 5 feet of rain annually, is the wettest community in the nation. Pensacola, Florida, New Orleans, and West Palm Beach, Florida follow. Alaska and Hawaii were not included in the survey. All 13,000 New York City taxis will be required to go hybrid within the next 5 years. The city's mayor, Michael Bloomberg, says the move will reduce air pollution and affect climate change. Record label EMI has approved a buyout from private equity fund Terra Firma. $6.3 billion is being offered. EMI publishes the Beatles music. Weather forecasters predicting a busy storm season this year are encouraging the oil industry to move fuel supplies away from the Gulf Coast in order to keep them safe. Gasoline prices are high as it is and would skyrocket if oil is lost in a hurricane. June 1st is the beginning of the 6-month hurricane season. British Petroleum has shut down a quarter of its oil production at its lucrative Prudhoe Bay field in Alaska. A leak was discovered from a pipe in a facility that separates water from crude oil. Prudhoe produces nearly 400,000 barrels of oil daily. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Get your heart moving, pump, jump now. I'm here and I'm straight. Yeah, I'm here. I made it. I almost didn't make it. I almost almost let it happen. I've been really busting my ass off on my day job. And when I work, I don't get home till sometimes like around midnight or so. So every now and then, I have the nasty habit of oversleeping a little bit and not answering the alarm. How is everybody doing today? And it's another nice day here in Chicago. It's been a little chilly, actually, although the sun was out yesterday and the day before. But it's finally... every time I want to say spring is finally struck here, the weather turns nasty. I mean, last week I was thinking, okay, I can put the heavy jacket away in the closet. And then we had, 6 inches of slush fall on the ground. Not snow, but slush. And it didn't come in wet rain, It didn't come in wet rain. It just all dropped at one time. And just sat on the floor. How's everybody doing today? I hope everybody's having a good day. I hope Alberto Gonzalez has a bad day testifying before Congress. And, when will the Democrats find the cojones to just say, something? You're a lying sack of... And we're gonna just throw your ass in jail. Let's throw your ass in jail now. We'll figure out what's up later. I think we ought to start doing that. just throw some of these guys in jail. We'll figure out the charges later, pal. In the meantime, we got work to do. You sit there and relax. Have some bread and water. Here you go. Stay away from Bubba in the corner. And the thing about it is so clear and it's so obvious to anybody with more than 3 active brain cells that Gonzalez was not only involved with it, but he was also acting under orders specifically from Karl Rove. Everybody knows this. If anybody who seriously believes, that Karl Rove did not have a hand in all this, should be talking to a Cheshire cat somewhere. You know what I'm saying? They're off in Wonderland. They're off in some sort of weird fantasy world. And yet, the so-called professional media, the corporate media, the ones with all the money, the people who make 6 or 7 figures a year reporting the news, they can't seem to figure this out.
Well, we don't really know if Karl Rove is a chef or not. Got a check for me? Thank you. Yes, I'm not really sure what the story is.
They're full of crap. They're full of crap. And I understand, and I was flipping through the websites just before I came on, and apparently, David Broder just figured some stuff out. He's been the dean of the Washington Press Corps for the last 15 years. And now he just finally figured out that we on the left, the liberal bloggers who've been doing this for the last few years, that we've been right all along. And he was talking about the IMUS thing, and he was, I'm absolutely shocked by the number of people of my friends of mine and colleagues of mine that appeared on this show. Why, I think it's rather disgraceful, don't you? I remember, let me be honest. I don't listen to a lot of radio myself, unless I'm forced to, okay? back at work, since I work the second shift. The supervisor there likes to listen to her rap music, and so does everybody else, and they like to play it loud. But I don't listen to, I'll get into that in a second. I don't listen to radio very much at all. For a lot of different reasons. One is I don't really have the time, and two is that whenever I do listen to radio, I just tend to get angry. Whether I agree with the host or not, it doesn't make a difference. Whenever I hear this stuff, I just get pissed off. So, you know, I never really listen to I'm a Show. I don't listen to Limbaugh. I don't listen to Vorts. I don't listen to any of these scumbags. And, you know, if I did, I'd wind up, you know, paying for other people's radios because I would literally start taking them and smashing them. I did yell at my former boss of mine once, screamed at him. I said, when he was talking about how great Bill O'Reilly was. And I just started, are you just fucking stupid? Are you just stupid? Is that your problem? Because you get to the point where you can't even begin a rational discussion with them because their arguments are so way out of line, you know. If you don't support Mr. Bush in the war, you're a terrorist. You're going to try to argue with that? You're going to try to debate with that? That's why, by the way, I do not invite right-wingers to come on my show. Other hosts are great for that, and I'm glad they do. You know, Bob and Cade will sit there and talk very intelligently to them. John Fox will do that. Mark Levine, Dr. Bill O'Brien, Jeff Allen Wolf will do that. He doesn't take phone calls during a show, I don't think, but it doesn't matter. You know, all those guys are great, and all those guys do what they do. But on my show, if you come on my show and I hear one word that sounds like it's right-wing propaganda, even if I get the idea that it's right-wing propaganda, I'll cut your ass off in a heartbeat because, frankly, I don't want to hear it. I am sick of it. You guys have been wrong for the last 30 years. Actually, if you look at the conservative point of view, the conservative point of view has always been wrong. It's always supported the wrong cause. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. During the Revolutionary War, the conservatives in this country supported the British. They supported the slave owners and the Confederacy during the Civil War. They were on the wrong side of workers' rights issues. They were on the wrong side of civil rights issues. They were on the wrong side of the Vietnam War, and they're on the wrong side today. Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, ships, all the ships at sea, let me tell you something. The conservatives, the problem isn't conservatives, the problem is conservatism. That is the problem. Living in the past, not facing up to reality. That's what the problem is. And David Broder just now figuring stuff out. How much money did you make last year, David? You can take all of the money you made and give it to the Head On Radio Network because I'm telling you, all of us together here do a 10 times better job than the entire friggin' DC punditry corps. Because whatever else you're going to say about us, you know, whether we're new and we're untested and just a fledgling network, by the way, blah, 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 blah. The thing about it is that we are right, and we have been right. Yeah, Bob Kincaid said it just right. He's doing the from Casablanca. I'm just shocked to find that there's gambling here. You're winning, sir. Thank you very much. I'm sick of it. You want to call in and talk to me about it? Call in and talk to me about it. The number to call in, 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. If you can call our toll-free number, if you need to call our toll-free number, you can call that at 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. In the meantime, let's take a Beatles break. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Or will we?
A little slow on the buttons today, Joe.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.ORG.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
All right, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show once again. And we not so humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, stinking man. Voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, let me give you the numbers to call in, just in case you get a wild hair up your butt and you want to give us a call. That's 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453, or our toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And if you call up the 304 number, we would prefer that. And a lot of people have what you call the free long distance plans or everything, you know, whatever. And you know, realistically, and my roommate pointed this out to me, and I've said this before on the show too. Realistically, any long distance, anybody charging you extra for long distance right now is just stealing from you, because quite frankly, the technology is there and has been there for quite a while to do this stuff fairly cheap. It used to be, you know, back during when I was a kid. It was a little more costly to do a long distance call because you had to go over the transatlantic cable and stuff like that, or wherever you were going. And now you got satellites, and when you're on a cell phone, even if you're calling the guy right across the street from you, or right next door to you, the guy or the girl right next door to you, it still goes up to the satellite. It does the same thing, so it doesn't really matter. It's been a rough week for me. I was I've been working hard since the day job finally picked up, and I actually haven't had a day off since last Wednesday. And that's okay, you know, because I need the money. It just means that sometimes I overstress myself working out, and sometimes I get too much time off. And I just wish we were a nice balance, you know, because I had occasions where there wasn't any work for a week. And I don't know what to do with myself. You know, and the problem is, when you have that much time off, there's not so much that, well, you think you have plenty of things to do. I said, no, there's not plenty of things to do. You know, look for other work, perhaps. But the problem is that because you're not working, you're not making enough money to do anything. You know, in fact, there have been times when I had to worry about, did I have enough money to buy a bus pass so that I can get to work when work comes. I mean, that can be a serious issue. And I'm in the same boat as a lot of other people. I actually have a little better off than some other people. But my problem is that, you know, I've been earning barely enough money just to pay the rent and keep the rent paid up. Now I have to move for reasons I can't really talk about. I have to move, and I can't afford to have, you know, to do the first month in the security deposit. I mean, and a lot of people are in that same boat. I remember reading a column many years ago talking about how if you got one guy, you know, an upper middle class type of guy, driving into work and his tire goes flat and he doesn't have a spare and he's got to call the service and it's a big pain in the butt, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's fine. And they can do that. But if something happens to someone like me, people who are already living on the edge, every little expense like that could be a disaster. If they lose their car, they could lose their job in some cities. If you live in Atlanta, you pretty much have to have a car. But thankfully, you know, one of the reasons I moved to Chicago, and Chicago has the second biggest public transportation system in the country. Only New York has a larger system. And it's really kind of old. It's over 100 years old, and they're working to renovate it, and everybody complains and bitches and moans about it. But the thing about it is they've got it. And it's better than a lot of other places. And, you know, I hear people bitching, and people always bitch and moan about public transportation. But what I really like about it here is that everybody rides it. I mean, when I was in Atlanta, and they have such a racist attitude about public transportation down there. And then the total, well, you know, that whole libertarian, if you don't have a car, you're not worth it. Public transportation's for losers. And, you know, so you really, the only people who go to use the trains are, you know, lower-class working people, mainly people of color. In fact, there were a lot of times when I'd get on a bus or a train, I'd be the only white guy. And they would joke about it in Atlanta. Yeah, moving Africans rapidly through Atlanta. That's what MARTA stands for, Metro Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority. And MARTA gets no money from the state, unlike Chicago, which gets a big chunk of money from the state and from other areas. And because it's all part of the whole rapid transit. As a matter of fact, they're starting up a thing where they're going to have one basic transit card where you could ride the CTA, which is the Chicago Transit Authority, and you can ride the Metro, which is also, it's another company that does it. It's part of the RTA, but they go up a little further out. And then I guess to other rail units around. And that would be a really, really cool, they got something called PACE, which is another thing, and I'm not really too sure on that. But the thing about it is they take it seriously. They take it seriously here. And even when you know, the rest of the country is going against the idea, or most of the rest of the country is going against the idea, big cities like Chicago and New York, they take this seriously because it's something they have to deal with. You have millions and millions of people living in an area, and you got to move them back and forth. I am a huge believer in public transportation, but then again, I lean towards socialism, so that's just part of it to me. But it's also, it's a practical thing, and that's what I was thinking about. You know, when I was coming home from work, I was telling Bob Kincaid before the show. I said, you know, I do my best shows sometimes just walking back and forth to work, because I'll go over something in my head that I want to talk about, and then I'll just go and rant about it. But, you know, when I look at politics and I look at what the role of government is, and most of it is just caught up with practical issues. For city governments, it's stuff like public transportation and keeping the streets clean and you know, filling the potholes and the traffic lights and all that stuff. That's very important stuff. That's day-to-day stuff. And for the federal government, their job is to first of all, their job is to obey the law. and not just act like they're above it and they're kings, you know, like Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney do. Their job is to maintain stuff, maintain the law, create new laws if they have to, and they really probably overdo it on the laws when they do stuff. But to set up the whole infrastructure, big thing, you know, whether you're talking about a big project like the Federal Highway Program or the Tennessee Valley Authority or rural electrification, or just setting regulations and standards for interstate trade and commerce and for dealing with big businesses. I mean, that's the stuff federal government does. Practical issues. Dealing with them in a rational manner. I mean, you know, people think the New Deal was all this kind of high-and-fly idealism. It really wasn't. It was just, listen, we've got some serious problems. Let's look at it in a serious way. The problem we had prior to that was because we had an ideological point of view. And the ideological point of view... Who's calling me up? That telemarketer. The ideological point of view is that government should never get involved with business. And it was screwing the country up, then as now. And government does have a part to play in the economy. And government should have a role to play in the economy. And it's always a question of how much or how little, and that's always important debates. But you can't have a debate with these libertarian types who seem to think that the government should have absolutely no role and let everything just go. And that the open hand of Adam Smith of economics will work everything out. No, ladies and gentlemen, children, all the children and all the ships at sea, let me tell you something. The open hand of Adam Smith very quickly becomes a closed fist. As more and more money gets sucked up to the upper levels, you find that equality of opportunity, which when I talk about equality, when liberals talk about equality, that's really what we're talking about. You'll find that when all the money gets sucked up, the equality of opportunity goes right out the window because you have a certain caste of people who are basically slaves, whether they get paid for working or not. And a bunch of other people who, you know, who run the show. And you know something? When you have something like that, when it's a type of situation where you have a slave, where you're chained to one group of people, don't forget that chain goes both ways. You're tied to that slave just as much as that slave is tied to you. And it's a society that makes everybody miserable. And that's not what I want. I don't begrudge people getting wealthy. I don't begrudge people who really have talent and skill and work harder and earn more money. They've got it, you know, and they deserve it. And I'm fine with that. I'm not jealous of the rich in general. What I can't stand is seeing people who screw up badly on their jobs and getting hugely rewarded for it while they're telling us that we have to suck it up. What was it? They were just talking about Coca-Cola the other day, that they're going to be laying off 3,400 people. And this is Coca-Cola, for crying out loud. Who doesn't drink Coca-Cola? It's one of the biggest selling soft drinks in the world. I've read some of their shareholder things. They compete with water. They don't compete with other sodas. They compete with water. And even when they're losing money, their executives get millions of bucks in benefits. That's wrong. That's wrong. Anyway, let's take a little break. Bottom of the hour. We're halfway through the show. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Today is a very exciting day for working people in North America and working people in the UK, but I think it's also going to grow into a tremendous day for the future of working people everywhere. We're committed that as corporations globalize and global capital tries to flex its muscles, that we need to build a counterforce.
United Steelworkers President Leo Girard announcing in Ottawa, Canada, that the USW and the 2.1 million member Amicus Union in the UK will be forming the first transatlantic union. Derek Simpson of Amicus says multinational corporations need to be dealt with by global unions.
One of our tasks as trade unions is to defend working people, to advance working people's condition. And that's increasingly difficult within the confines of national boundaries when you're dealing with the actions and the events created by multinational companies.
The agreement forming the Transatlantic Union was signed on Wednesday. Girard says the full merger of the two unions should be completed within a year. The UAW says Daimler Chrysler's announcement that it's investing $1 billion in new and expanded factories in Metro Detroit is great news for the UAW-represented workers at Chrysler and for the state of Michigan. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger says with these serious new resources from the company, Chrysler has the opportunity to enhance its competitive position in the auto industry. With prescription drug prices under Medicare Part D rising sharply, Senate Republicans have blocked a bill that could lower those prices. Jesse Russell reports.
Senate Democrats failed in garnering the 60 votes needed to bring the bill that would have allowed the government to negotiate Medicare drug prices. Under the current Medicare Part D plan, private insurers handle the negotiations with drug makers. Democrats believe that the government could influence companies to lower prices and cut costs for senior citizens. Republicans believe drug prices should be left up to the private sector and not put in the hands of the Secretary of Health and Human Services. As Republicans were blocking the bill, a new report was released that suggested that drug prices under the Bush administration's Medicare Part D increased by 9.2%. That's three times the increase in this year's Social Security cost of living adjustment and four times as fast as the rate of inflation. The report was filed by the organization Families USA, using data provided by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Here is today's economic report. It's up, up, and away for foreclosure proceedings against homeowners. Banks foreclosed on 47% more homeowners last month than a year ago, with 149,000 filings posted. Late payments on mortgages also continue to climb, reaching a four-year high last month. Nevada is being hit the hardest, with foreclosure filings tripling over this time last year.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe radio show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's cupjoe.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, cupjoe.com, and let internet radio ads work for you.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, and I am the voice of the working man. I am the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, number to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-304-ACK. I forget the three. You know, I've been doing the 877 number for so long, I've got it memorized, but I don't have the 304 number memorized, so unless I see it here in front of me, I'm not going to remember it. Anyway. But we have a 304 number. If there's somebody in the chat room there. And by the way, if you can go into the chat room just by going to headonradionetwork.com and scrolling down to the right and clicking on the chat room. Thank you, Bob. 304-658-5453. Please give me a call. I like talking with people. And please, if you're going to call, use the 304 number if you possibly can, because, you know, we're it's just nicer, and you don't, you know, it's a better line. The line is run by little elves who need to work. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. Get a 304 number if you can. 304-658-5453. Give me a call. Talk to me about this stuff. I was listening to that to the Wins News, and I was very happy to hear about the merger between the Steel Workers Union in the U.S. and the U.K., and I think that's a very important thing. And they're absolutely right. You need to have a global labor standard, and you need to have a global union in order to combat this outsourcing. I mean, it's ridiculous. Look, I don't have a problem with companies who want to move a plant to another country because it's better for business in the sense that you want to sell cars. Say Ford wants to sell cars to Germany, it's easier for them to move their plant to Germany and build the cars there and sell them there. I'm fine with that. And I'm just as fine for, you know, Mercedes or Fiat or somebody, a Toyota or Honda, to come down here and build a plant here because it's cheaper for them to do that, and it makes more business sense for them to hire American workers and build the cars here than it is to build them there and ship them over here. So, you know, that I don't have a problem with. What I have a problem with is saying, who's going to give us the cheapest labor and let us get away with the most illegal stuff? That's where we should go. And you know what? It all backfires on them in the long term. The Japanese were outsourcing a lot of jobs to Thailand and Vietnam and a lot of those places. And now, from what I understand, they're starting to pack those places up and moving back to Japan. Because the skill level they were getting from those workers there, and it's not entirely their fault. They live in societies that don't value education quite so much, or at least they don't provide it quite so much. You know, so the Japanese are moving back so they can get a better product done. And you know, when I lived in Atlanta, when I lived in the South all those years, you know, the Southerners used to brag about all the jobs that they would get from the North because people, you know, the businesses didn't want to pay the higher taxes up in the Northeast. And they do pay more taxes up in the Northeast. In fact, I lived in Massachusetts for a while. They used to call it Taxachusetts, and they still do. But the Southerners, the same Southerners now who were bragging about those jobs, are now seeing those jobs moving away to Mexico where their companies are paying people far less to work. And also obeying far less laws, have far less laws to deal with. They don't have to be responsible because, you know, something, businesses don't care to be responsible. Businesses are in the business of making money, period. And you can say whether or not that's an admirable thing, but the point of the matter is that businesses do not exist in a vacuum. They have a social impact. They have a responsibility to the society that they run in. And if they don't understand that, it's our job to make them understand that. And if you got to put a gun to their heads, metaphorically speaking, to force them to understand that, then that's what you got to do. And here's the real truth of the matter. Here's the real truth of the matter, if I can remember it. Dang it, I lost my train of thought again. I hate it when that happens. See, this is why I don't like doing a morning show, guys. Because my right brain isn't quite wired properly yet in the morning. But, you know, I'm not anti-business. I'm a liberal. I'm not anti-business. I just simply believe business needs to be regulated, period. Let's help me get my brain on track. Let's go to the phones. We got Phil from Daytona Beach on the line. Hi, Phil. How are you today?
Okay, Joe, thanks. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you.
Hey, I just got on the web page of the Horn and saw that story, Human Trafficking in Mississippi. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know who posted it, but I tell you, the corporatism, it's out of control. I mean, everything's out of control. These criminals have taken over our country, over our government. But I heard you talking about the United Steelworkers going international.
Yes.
And that reminded me of a 60-minute segment, oh, I don't know, how, it must have been last year, where Andy Stern from the SEIU was featured, the president of the SEIU, and they were, a part of the segment was describing how they were reaching out to the Brits as well. To join the SEIU, and you're right. We're up against corporations that are now so powerful by being globalists, you know. I don't know if that's the right word.
Well, no, they're multinational, like they said. I mean, and they're free to move around, whereas, you know, citizens aren't necessarily free to move around, so they can pick and choose right now.
Correct. And if we're going to stand up to these guys, in so many ways, they're abusing the people in so many ways. We've got to join together. We've got to increase our ranks.
Well, I agree with you, Phil. I mean, that's, I say this on the show pretty much every day.
Every day, I mean, I'm not telling you anything.
No. Well, but that's okay, you know.
Yeah. But are you familiar with the SEIU's reaching out internationally to, like, the steel workers there?
Yes, I am, and I am also speaking with the SEIU, trying to get some of their representatives on the show so we can talk about these very issues.
Boy, yeah. If I can get on the internet and find that segment, I'll email it to you if you want.
Sure, that would be great. Because, yeah, and I agree. You know, and in fact, I remember the point I was going to make is that the propagandists on the right wing, they'll pay the Rush Limbaughs and the Neil Bortzes and all these people millions and millions of dollars. And what those guys will do is they'll get on the radio and they'll tell you to blame the Mexicans, blame the Vietnamese, blame the Chinese. And the Vietnamese, the Mexicans, and the Chinese are not the problem.
They're
because they don't set the policy.
The kids, for crying out loud.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. They're reacting to policies that have been set by the same people who are paying these guys' salaries.
You know, getting back to the TV, any time I get the chance to get on the air with the horn, it's usually in the programs later in the day, I always come back to that. You know, I really believe that we got to stop feeding it. You know, we're feeding the beast that's beating us down by actually subscribing. I mean, did you ever think you'd be paying 50, 60, 70 bucks just to watch that box?
I remember when it first came out.
Yeah.
You know, I remember there were ads in the movie theaters telling you, don't go for pay TV. You know, they were afraid that, you know, people would stop going to the movies.
Yeah.
And there were literally ads, and, you know, you don't want this pay TV. Pay TV! You know, but people went for it because the reception was clearer and you got more channels, and now we seem to be pretty much stuck with it. And it's not as regulated an industry as it should be.
Well, we don't have to. We can just say no to it. I mean, the media works so much against us, and there's such a need for an alternative media, so much that I really believe as individuals we need to become the media ourselves.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here at Head On.
I know Head On is great, but I mean, in addition to Head On, I mean individuals like me going out and saying, you know what I heard on Head On Radio this morning? You know, there was this story about human trafficking in Mississippi or whatever. You know what I mean? Where we actually have to, as individuals, I say, stop feeding that box. I got rid of my cable subscription, you know.
Well, I think the wrong term to use is human, because as I've said also before, as far as the Bush administration and their corporate allies are concerned, these people are not human. The only people who are human are you know, people like Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and all those guys. Those are the humans. We just exist to make them rich.
Yeah, and I saw this quote. I see it. You know, you see so many quotes. And Frederick Douglass was it. Made the quote, power concedes nothing without demand. And the American people, and I think to because of the televisions that have become conditioned to be so passive and just take anything, you know, just take it and take it by that television, that we don't know how to demand anymore.
I hear you. Listen, I hate to cut you off.
Okay,
we got to take a break.
Great program. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Phil. I appreciate it. Phil from Daytona Beach.
We appreciate you too, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Always good to hear from a new caller. Bye-bye, Phil. Okay, let's take our last break here, and we'll finish up the segment. I do want to talk more about this issue because Phil is right. We have become very passive. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
Thank you. This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office 1-888-384-5249.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back. That's right. The rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. A ballot should not be a secret from the voter who cast it. That's exactly what happens with dangerous, disenfranchising, touchscreen DRE voting machines, where it's impossible to verify that the machine has recorded the vote the way you cast it. Call Congress today and demand they ban DRE touchscreen voting in Congressman Holt's H.R. 811 election reform bill. Your democracy depends on it.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA. Raising the next generation of storytellers.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Just listening to the music there. That's Crazy on You. For those of you who don't know much about the music of that year, I'm not sure when that came out. That was a '70s song, but I really, really like it. I love that music from that era. And you know, I was talking about this at work. Since I work in the evening shift, we have a new supervisor now, and the new supervisor loves to listen to her radio. And first of all, I don't like listening to radio when I work. I like to have a little peace and quiet. I don't mind the noise in the background, the usual, you know, people conversing and the noise of the workplace, that's fine. But I don't like listening to radio when I work. Okay? And I am pretty much forced to listen to this hip-hop music. And I, you know, it's bad enough listening, you know, having to listen to music. It's worse when you're listening to music that you absolutely despise. I despise hip-hop music. Not so much because of what they're singing, because, you know, I'm not really interested in hearing a lot of that stuff, but also because I just think it's very repetitious, and there's not a whole lot of musical quality to it. And I really think rap music now, hip-hop music now, is kind of at the point where rock and roll music was in the 50s or so. Before Elvis, before the Beatles. You know, before things really changed, before rock grew and evolved. And I'm not really sure if hip-hop can evolve. But the fact of the matter is that it needs something like that. And but what really angers me is that they really don't seem to care that I don't want to listen to this music. And I could say something about it, and maybe it would stop for a little while, but then it would start up all over again, and then, you know, people would resent the fact that here's a guy that killed the music. When why don't they go out and put on a pair of damn headphones? I don't want to hear it. And especially, I'm doing this very, very complicated job right now that really requires my full concentration. And half of my concentration is spent trying to knock this music out of my head. And people in the workplace do, and you know, if you're the one person who's the odd person out in the workplace, and I am, generally speaking. And, you know, I talk about me being the working guy, and I am the working guy, but the truth of the matter is I do not identify with a lot of working people simply because I have a little bit more ambition than to just have a job. I take my work very seriously. Don't get me wrong. I don't slack off at work. In fact, I've worked a couple of days. I don't even take a lunch break. I'm not bragging about that. It's just simply because once I get going on something, I go. That's the type of person I am. But I don't take the job that seriously. I've left jobs that I didn't like. Have I suffered for it? Damn straight. And all of my problems, all the things that I have that are going wrong for me, have everything to do with money. Just money. And, you know, and I've said this before, I said, you know, look, I don't make any money doing this radio show. Well, I do make a little bit, you know, people donate, and of course I do have sponsors, but the fact of the matter is I can't make a living doing this show. Not yet. I'm hopeful that will change in the future, and I'm not going to talk about that in detail, but the thing about it is I will be here for as long as the Head On Radio Network is on the air and as long as they'll have me on the air, okay? I am doing this because I feel my voice needs to be heard. And as long as somebody gives me a venue to do that, I will be here. Should something happen to the Head On Radio Network, and I don't think anything is going to happen to the Head On Radio Network because we're too damn good, I will go back to doing a pre-recorded show if I have to. I don't care. I'm going to get my damn voice heard. And we were talking about, you know, using the media, and I mentioned this on the show yesterday. So, look, what's great about this is that it's the most inexpensive public forum way of getting your message out to millions of people that has ever been created in history. Years ago, if you wanted to print books, you know, when you're talking centuries ago, if you wanted to print books, you had to have a printing press. Those were expensive. And you had to buy the materials. That was expensive. And expensive not just once, but, you know, over time. You wanted to have a radio station. That's expensive. And not only that, you have to have a license and all that. And I'm all for that, of course. And I think I think the licenses have been abused over the years. I think, quite frankly, we need to start pulling the licenses of some of these radio stations that air limbo. Never mind just firing the host. No one's talked about this yet. Never mind firing Imus. Let's start going to these stations and say, look at the filth that they're pandering. Look at these guys are telling them to hate other people. Let's just take their damn license away. You're not allowed to broadcast anymore. But okay, before I go off on that tangent, you know, let me continue on with my original point. Take away their licenses. You need a license. And if you want to do a television show, you need a license, and that's very, very expensive. But doing an internet radio show doesn't cost a lot. And the hardest part is just getting the publicity out and getting people to come and listen to your show. It's why I'm on the Head On Radio Network. Of course, I have thousands and thousands of listeners. And by the way, and I've said this before, and let me say it again, just let me know that you're listening. Send me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. Doesn't cost you a penny. Doesn't cost you anything. Just a little time. And please feel free to give me an email, joe@cupjoe.com, and in the subject matter, just put, I'm listening. And I'm collecting them, as investors show up and say, look, these are the emails of people. You know, I'm not giving out your emails. I'm not saying that. But this is the number of emails that I've gotten just from asking people. And I've gotten quite a bit. And I've gotten from all over the world. That's what's really great. I got them from Denmark. I got them from Britain. I've got them from Japan. I've got them from Thailand. I've got them from Australia. And I got them from all over the country. You know? So that's very, very good. And it goes to show that, and again, unlike other technology, you can reach people worldwide. We've got John Fox coming up next. After me, John Fox is coming from Australia, for crying out loud. And Bob and Agnes run the show out from the studios in West Virginia. I'm not sure where Guy James and Mark Levine and Jeff Allen Wolf come from, but we're not all, you know, it's not like we have a big studio and we all live around each other. We're all over the country and we're all over the world, dude. Dudes, dudettes, whoever. But I love the internets because it really enables me to do that. To have my voice heard in Australia and in Denmark and in Italy and in Japan and in Korea. And tying that in with the issue of working people and global unions, I am so happy to hear about the steelworkers agreement. I think that's really what we need. Like I say, everybody, every day, you need to imagine every single day that there's George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and the whole administration, the Republican leadership and their corporate allies, their financial backers. I want you to imagine they're all standing right there in your house, robbing you blind, picking your pocket, because that's exactly what they're doing every single freaking day. That's exactly what they're doing every day. And the only protection you have, as Phil from Daytona Beach pointed out, the only protection you have is to have all of your fellow brothers and sisters, working people, standing in the room, holding a gun to their heads. I talked about this in the chat room the other day. You know, motor of the world? Don't give me this Ayn Rand crap. We're the motor of the world, people. Do a general strike and boycott for 1 month. Let's shut down the whole world for 1 month. Nobody go to work, except for people who have to, like police departments, fire departments, hospital workers. Those people will be unhappy, and I'm sorry. But nobody go to work for a month. We'll see who the motor of the world is. They can't make a penny without us, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the chips at sea. They can't make a penny without you and me. And we need to stop fighting amongst ourselves. Like I see at every workplace, there's always this little competition to show who can do more, who can do less, blah, 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 blah. That's bull. We are all in this together. And if we don't hang together, as our founding father said, if we don't hang together, we will all hang separately. And the media is part of that. And the politics have to... All your donation money, then you send to a politician, where does it go? It goes to TV. Because that's who they got to pay to get the ads on. And that's the sickening part of it. And if the government just cracked down and says, you're going to offer free airtime as a requirement of your license, then things would change. And they wouldn't need to be raising so much money. All right, let's bring an end to it. It's almost time to end, and the show goes by so quickly sometimes. It's really remarkable. The Cup of Joe radio show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network. Bob Kincaid taking the board over today. You know, Bob has given Agnes a whole week off pretty much. That's great. I'm glad because, you know, Agnes was really, really working hard. So I'm glad that Bob is there helping out. The Cup of Joe radio show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Foxed Up with John Fox is coming up next here on all your Head-On Radio Network stations. And until tomorrow, when my guest, as always, will be Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, 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 get back to work.
I'm on a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Oh, in a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. We trickle to the carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Shaw. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. The body of one of the missing U.S. soldiers kidnapped in Iraq 11 days ago has apparently been discovered floating in the Euphrates River. The soldier had been shot several times. Thousands of coalition forces continued to search for two other soldiers abducted during an ambush earlier this month. In Iraq, nine soldiers and Marines were killed yesterday and early today in a series of roadside bombs. Most of the incidents were related to the search for the kidnapped soldiers. 85 U.S. forces have died in Iraq this month. A fragile ceasefire is still holding this morning between the Lebanese and the Islamic militants. It is hoped food, water, and medicine can be brought to the 30,000 resident camp and the dead and wounded can be removed. In Gaza, Palestinian leaders meet today to discuss strengthening the truce between rival Hamas and Fatah factions. Also on the agenda, ceasefire with Israel. In the past 10 days, more than 90 Palestinians have been killed. Also in the Gaza Strip today, Israel launched both airstrikes and a ground operation targeting Hamas and buildings thought to contain weaponry. No injuries were reported. The San Francisco Chronicle reports the Pentagon appears to be prepared to double the number of U.S. combat forces in Iraq this year. Pentagon deployment orders indicate more combat brigades will be deployed there, and duty tours of troops already in Iraq will be extended. In the Persian Gulf, nine U.S. Navy warships arrived today to stage an unannounced exercise off the Iranian coast. 17,000 U.S. sailors and Marines are involved. It's the largest shore of maritime force in the region since the Iraqi invasion in 2003. In Belgrade, 12 Serbians today were found guilty of assassinating Prime Minister Zoran Zinzic, who was gunned down in front of his office 4 years ago. It was the first assassination of a European head of state in 17 years. Prosecutors say Zinzic's killers wanted to restore Slobodan Milosevic to power. In Washington, the Senate has rejected an attempt to drop a key provision of the controversial